would join with Caleb for thanking everyone being out with us this evening. And it's my prayer as we go through this study that it'd be something to maybe jog your mind a little bit, something to study a little further, something to give you some encouragement, something to think on things of how we act and how we react to certain situations. And I'm thankful for the prayers on my behalf as we begin this evening. We're going to discuss faith and works tonight. And I know it's two words that you could build just weeks and weeks of lessons out of. So as we get through into the lesson, you'll have a better understanding of why the title is this way. And I'm not going to be standing up here for hours tonight speaking on this. So as we get into it, I want to start tonight by reading a certain group of verses that lead into the verses we're going to get our main study for the evening from. So if you want to pick up a Bible and follow along, we're going to be in James chapter 2, and if not, the things will be on the board behind us. James chapter 2, starting verse number 1, says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons? For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, also said, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." You know, as we get into this lesson this evening, this is just an intro to what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, we read these verses and we see where James was reprimanding the early Jewish Christians for how they treated people differently, how they showed favoritism to those that they thought were better off and those that were poorer. James chapter 2, verse 2, we'll read again. It says, "For if there come," and I don't have verse 3 here, we'll pick up verse 3 as well. It says, "For if they come into your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man, vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit under my footstool." You know, so James is reprimanding them for the attitude that they had like this. If a rich man came in, they'd say, "Hey, we got the best seats in the house up here. You come sit up here." And if a poor man come in, he said, "Well, stand behind the door back there where nobody will see that you're here." That's the attitude they had. And then James continues on in this same chapter about how they were wrong, both in judgment and in actions. And this is where we really get into the lesson on these next verses. And these are verses that we've all read multiple times. But I think sometimes when we read God's word, we read over these verses and say, "Yeah, okay, I got that." And then we just continue on. We don't stop and think about it. We don't stop and take a minute or two to look for something a little bit deeper in what we're reading. Sometimes we just look at it and skim over it and say, "Okay, I got it," and go on. So this evening, I want to dissect the next verse, next group of verses a little deeper and have a little better understanding of how we look at these verses. And what we want to look closer at is the next part of the chapter, James chapter 2, starting verse 14. Starting in verse 14, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." This is the verses that I think, as well as many other that we studied, that we read stuff like this and we just skim over it and say, yeah, okay, I got it. Faith without works, blah, blah, blah. And then we go on down the line. So we want to pay a little closer attention to these verses tonight because it's going to explain to us how our faith should lead to works. And if we don't have works because of our faith, then what will happen is that as well. So for a little better grasp of some of the concepts of these verses, I want us to notice the definitions of just a couple of the words in what we read. A man may say he has faith, verse number 14. Say, as Strong's number 3004, Lego, to ask, bid, boast, call, describe, give out, name, put forth, say, show, speak, tell, utter. And in the context of James chapter 2, I think that we can pick out of all of these words, boast as the best definition. Though a man say he have faith, so he's boasting by saying, well, I have faith. The next word I want to look at is works. Same chapter, same verse, number 14, work. As Strong's number 2041, as ergon, or an act, a deed, doing, labor, or work. Simply having deeds to do, work to be done. Keep these definitions in mind as we continue on through these verses. And as we begin looking at these verses, verse number 14 sets the tone for the whole lesson, sets the tone for the whole reading this evening. And this verse makes an observation and then poses a couple of questions in verse number 14. Verse number 14, as we just read a minute ago, it says, "But what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" So the observation in this is, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works. Okay, that's what we're going to observe in this verse. So then the questions are, if you profess, or you see the observation that a man professes he hath faith but no works, then the questions arise, what doth it profit, and can faith save him? And as we go through these lesson, maybe this will all come a little bit better understanding. You may say, remember the definition to boast? Well, I have faith. You know, when I tell someone that I have faith that God will see to your needs, yet I just say, hey, be warmed and filled. I'm sorry that your house burnt down. You don't have any clothes. You don't have anything to eat. Hey, I'm sorry about that. Be warmed and filled. That I trust that God will take care of those needs. I sure hope he gets some help. But just as we've read, that faith without works is dead. Notice in these verses also in the context from James, the second part of the chapter, that it says three times, that faith without works is dead. You know, that's a point God's wanting to spread out for us, wants to point out to us that faith without works is dead. Otherwise, it wouldn't be mentioned three times in a short group of verses. So that makes it a dead faith. So shouldn't we get an understanding of what that means? When we read this, it says faith without works is dead, and that leads to a dead faith. Well, what's the understanding behind that? Shouldn't we have a better understanding to see what the point of the lesson is? We need to understand this so we can gain what the verse truly means, what we're supposed to get out of it. What is a dead faith? Is there even such a thing as a dead faith? If there is a dead faith, what makes it a dead faith? To answer the question to start with, yes, there is a dead faith. And a dead faith is one that just believes faith only is good enough for God's approval. It's not just that the man says he has faith. It's just that that's all he does is say, I have faith. There's no action involved in it. Sure, I've got faith, and then be warmed and filled, and I'll turn around and go on. But as we've just read, our faith should move us to works. God does not ask us, or expect us to do some great, magnificent work. All he expects is just for us to be about the work. Dead faith refers to a type of belief that is useless and does not lead to any transformation in action or lives, meaning that genuine faith must be accompanied by actions rooted in love for God and for others. This kind of faith, a dead faith, does exist, but it fails to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish or what he wants us to do or expect from our lives, showing an unchanged, me-first type of lifestyle. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A true faith, a living faith, should create a change in our hearts and our minds. It should transform us. You know, God's word is supposed to transform us every day to be more Christ-like each and every day of our lives. And it should transform us to act more and more Christ-like. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man holding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man be a hearer of the word, and that's all, yeah, I understand that faith without works is dead, and I hear that, but then I don't reply to that with any action. He's not a doer. Then he's like a man beholding his face in a glass, and he looks at it and says, yeah, okay, I see that, and then turns around, walks off, and I forget what it looked like. Another word definition I want to look at is this right here from doers. And it's Strong's number 4163, and I'm not going to pronounce their word for it, is a performer, especially a poet. So to be, you go back to James 1, and it says we are to be doers of the word. You know, we look at this and it says, well, a performer or poet, well, I'm not a poet, I don't do poetry. Well, in this context, it means performer. We are to show God's love for mankind through our performance of works expected of us as a child of God. We are to be doers. We are to be performers of the word in the world that we live in. First John chapter 3, verse 17, 18 says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but I have faith. Let's not strive, let's not do in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth." 1 Timothy 1 verse 5 said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of unfeigned love." Faith unfeigned, it's kind of like Daryl's definition this morning. Faith unfeigned means hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, its definition, is the practice of professing beliefs, feelings, or virtues that one does not hold or profess, a false hope. Unfeigned love, not being unfeigned faith, is not false. If we have unfeigned faith, then that means it's not false, it's real. We do works because of our love of God and love for others out of a pure heart and a good conscience by our desire to be about the work of the kingdom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Romans 13, 8, same thought process. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." You know, and if I go back to to my story that you come to me at your house is burnt down, you don't have any clothes, you don't have any food, and I tell you, be warmed and filled, and I turn around and walk off, what kind of love is that showing the brethren? You know, James is saying that if the Christian life is to be fruitful and effective, both faith and works are needed to accomplish God's work in this world. People who have dead faith truly do have actual, real faith, but their faith is unproductive. It doesn't accomplish what God wants their faith to accomplish in this life. Do you believe God can help others? Well, of course we believe that. That's just common for us as children. Well, that's fantastic. Now let's go out in faith and trust Him to use us for the works in the kingdom. We have to be ready and willing to be able to do the works in the kingdom and be ready when we're called to do the works in the kingdom. And we can trust that God will take care of the things in this world, but we are the means by which He takes care of a lot of things in this world, especially the works of the kingdom. The physical works in this world is what we take care of for God, and He works through us to take care of that. I leave the lesson with you this evening and pray the things we've studied are beneficial, that we can't get caught up so much into a dead faith to where we believe God and we believe some of the promises of God, but that's as far as it goes, is belief. It doesn't lead to any action. It doesn't transform us to be able to do what He expects us to do in this world for the kingdom. And for us to be workers in the kingdom, we need to have this to be able to be available for God to be able to work on that. James 2 and 17, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So faith without works is a dead faith. It's alone. It's by itself. There's nothing more to it. And we can't live our lives as a Christian with the faith that I believe in God and not rely on anything else, not be about the work of the kingdom, not to be available to be in the work of the kingdom, not to be available to have God work through us to take care of that work in the kingdom. So again, the lesson I'll leave with you, I pray you study this thing and look at it a little bit further as you're going through your week this next week. If anyone's subject to the gospel call, if they feel that their faith is lacking a little bit in transforming themselves into being a worker in the kingdom, then we'd be willing to help you with that as well. If anyone needs to be the prayers of the church or needs to obey the gospel, we'd ask either one to come up and have a seat on the front row while we stand and sing the song, Been Selected.